Whether we're facing an avalanche of phone calls, emails, and text messages, or just too many things on the calendar, it's so very easy to struggle with staying focused and well-organized. Some refreshingly simple solutions are laid out in David Allen's best-selling book, Getting Things Done. They are practical methods developed in his decades spent advising high-powered, highly busy executives on ways to improve how they manage the relentless demands on their time.
In your work of coaching people to help them get better organized and be more productive, I wonder how often people complain that they are overstretched and time-starved.
Well, that's the fairly universal cry out there. I mean, if you had enough time and resources, there's no need to think about time. You just wander around and do what you feel like doing, and whatever shows up is fine. I mean, the simple definition of management is the allocation of limited resources. So if you take that and say self-management, well, we never have, you know, unlimited resources to do everything that we want to do. I think the big issue is that most people, their eyes have been bigger than their stomachs. And the fact is, it's really the stress of opportunity that our life of abundance has really, you know, allowed people.
So what's the most common thing you see when you kind of get under the hood of somebody who's saying, I just don't have enough hours in the day to do what is essential for me to do? What's the error in thinking or the misalignment that's going on there most of the time?
Most people have not teased out what doing the essential thing I need to be doing is. In all of its
meaning, they haven't prioritized the most.
No, they haven't defined it. They haven't got the list yet. They haven't really sat down. You know, I would sit you down and say, great, make a list of all the really meaningful things you think you need to be getting done right now. Let's see it. And very few people could give it to you. Most people have this sort of vague angst in there that there's things they probably could, would, should be doing. And the truth is they may sincerely be way overcommitted and understaffed to get done what they need to get done. But we've got to get the inventory first. Most people have some subjective emotional response to the overwhelm and the lack of clarity that's going on simply because they have not externalized and clarified what it is they've agreed with themselves about.
A little bit of aversion. I'd rather not really dig down into the details of that because it would be so unpleasant.
Listen, if this were easy, I wouldn't have this job. People wouldn't pay me what they pay me to sit down and say, hey, what's on your mind? Get it out of your mind. What does that mean? Where are you going to park the results of that? That's really all I do. I don't tell people what to do with their stuff. I mean, it's funny. People get mad at me for their list. I go, well, excuse me. That ain't my list. Absolutely.
I'd like to hear your thoughts about our human need for downtime and strategies you suggest for carving out downtime and what happens when we're intentionally turning off the meter and granting ourselves permission to take a deep breath and let go a little bit.
Yeah, well, you've really identified, I think, the key to rhythm. And how do you manage the rhythm of your life? You know, you can't stay on all the time. There are rhythmic patterns to your breathing, rhythmic patterns to your heartbeat, rhythmic patterns to your energy levels, you know, your thinking processes, et cetera. And, you know, lots of studies out there about how valuable it is to every 90 minutes you need to stop and sort of, you know, rejigger your mind because you're likely to be running down some path that will be suboptimal if you keep trying to push on that too long. So I think a lot of it's just awareness of your own energy and how, you know, we're not just an always on machine that you can run without burning out. I think it's quite individual and unique to individuals in terms of what would cause burnout. Look at some people and they say, hey, they're fine doing what they're doing and they look like they're running, you know, 90 miles an hour doing what they're doing, but that's actually okay for them. So I think it's quite individual in terms of how one perceives that. But I think to your point, I experience it as the ability to be able to shift gears and shift levels. When are you in first gear? When do you need to be in fourth gear? When do you need to be in neutral? You know, when do you need to go in reverse? So much like driving a car, you don't want to be out on the freeway and be, you know, stuck in first gear. You need to be up in fourth gear. So having the right energy for the right time and the right place, for instance, you know, sometimes if your energy is best in the morning, that's the best time to tackle tough things to do, when your energy can handle that. The end of the day, if your energy kind of wanes, that's a good time to snack on email and finish all those little nitsy little things that you want to be able to do.